This morning, I purpose to begin a new series of messages from Mark's Gospel. And chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and verses 14 and 15 are the text for today. Mark 1, 1 through 11, and also verses 14 and 15. Let's once again pray before I read and expound upon that portion by God's grace. And so, Father, with the hymn writer, we cry out, be near to us. You are our all in all. You are our all sufficiency. We need you, Lord, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Apart from you, we have nothing. We look to you and trust in you, Lord, for all things, including being fed from your holy word. Lord, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Feed us now, we pray. Lord, bring us beside the still waters. Bring us to the green pastures, that we may eat and drink of this spiritual food and grow to better glorify you and serve you in all ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God from Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Skipping to verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. There's a word in the Greek language, euangelion. Means good message, and that is the meaning of this term gospel. It's not a particular kind of inspirational music. It's not just a word emphasizing that something is absolutely true. We use the expression the gospel truth, but it's a good message from heaven to mankind, and God saw fit that as the new and better covenant and Jesus' blood was inaugurated as it came to be, as we will observe in this sacrament of the new covenant that Jesus instituted for us, God saw fit that the scriptures of that new covenant would begin with four accounts of this good message, four gospels. There's a direct simplicity to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, and there's a uniformity in most English translations. Everybody translates it just about the same way, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So it reads in the King James, the New King James, the English Standard Bible, and the New American Standard Bible. In the NIV, it reads the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. That's the only one that's different, but quite accurate according to the original language. Very simple, very direct. This is the beginning of the good message. So this is a sermon explaining why the word of salvation is called the good news, the euangelion, the gospel. Let me first let you know why I omitted verses 12 and 13. That's because it deals with the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, which is not mentioned at all in the Gospel of John. It's handled at greater length by Matthew and Luke. And so I didn't want to include that in today's message. That's a very big topic and something to be dealt with in another time. The clearest point that I'd want to bring out about Christ's temptation is this, that where Adam failed, having been placed in a beautiful garden, given a beautiful companion and every advantage that he could have had, he failed. But Jesus Christ, the last Adam, when he was faced with temptation, he overcame. He repelled the same serpent that had tempted Eve with the word of God. So we'll perhaps deal with the temptation of Christ at another time. First point for this morning, this good news, this gospel is embodied in its bearer. The good news is embodied in its bearer. In other words, Mark starts with who? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ means anointed one. The Aaronic priests, the children, the sons of Aaron, were daubed or smeared with a holy oil. That was the anointing. Men like Saul and David were anointed with oil, Samuel pouring it upon them. It was a rite demonstrating a setting apart. And in the profoundly messianic Psalm 45, on which our hymn this morning is based, we read these words: "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Jesus Christ is the supremely anointed one. He's called and set apart by his Father. He's the Messiah, the anointed one. Mark goes on from there, appealing, as the inspired New Testament writers so often do, to the prophets of old. We have the lesser messenger and the greater messenger of Malachi chapter 3. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament, just before Matthew. And we read these words: "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. You'll note there that we have two messengers. We'd call them the lesser messenger or the small m messenger and the greater messenger. The other gospel writers preface their accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry as well. John thrills us with the sublime revelation of the eternal Word made flesh. Matthew treats of his kingly heritage, perceived even by the wise men from afar. Luke gives us the account of his nativity, but Mark gets down to business suddenly. Here's the messenger suddenly appearing, coming into his temple. He has arrived. The time is here. Angels like Gabriel are messengers. Here, God himself is the messenger. John was the one, the forerunner, the small m messenger who came to proclaim that the messenger of the covenant, God himself, is here. When patriarch Jacob was blessing Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, he referred to God himself as an angel or a messenger. He said, he prayed, "The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads." So here was that messenger, that divine messenger suddenly appearing. And I see Mark as beginning his gospel in that spirit. Suddenly the Lord comes into his temple. Suddenly, he's here. The good news is about that divine messenger suddenly appearing, suddenly proclaiming what is briefly summarized in verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So because this good news, this gospel, is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, we might compare the good news to an ancient shofar versus something that's called a Festschrift. I'll explain that word in a moment. The shofar, of course, is the ram's horn trumpet that was blown in ancient times when they were to prepare for battle, and on other occasions it made a very loud and vibrant sound. And the people acted as a result of hearing that trumpet. A Festschrift, according to dictionary.com, is a volume of articles, essays, etc., contributed by many authors in honor of a colleague, usually published on the occasion of retirement, an important anniversary, or the like. So what Mark is giving us is not a fading monument like that, not words celebrating the life of a giant figure of history, somebody that many wanted to honor. But this trumpeting message is everlasting. It's alive. It's a message for today. It's an everlasting gospel. As John saw in his vision on Patmos, he said, "I saw another angel," in other words, another messenger, "flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." This is good news that never becomes old news. That trumpet is sounding to this day. Mark goes on to write of John, the small m messenger, preparing the way for the messenger as he preaches to the Jews. He's essentially telling them to get ready. And that brings me to our second point, that this good news to the Jews is good news of the fulfillment of promise. John came baptizing because the time was at hand. What you have been expecting all along, my fellow Jews, is now here. I'm baptizing you for repentance so that you can make ready for the Lord who's suddenly coming into his temple. It's the good news of the kingdom of God. We don't want to miss that. The gospel is not just something kind of out there in the clouds, but it's the kingdom. It's the gospel of God's kingdom that had been promised and planned and set up for centuries before Jesus suddenly appeared on the scene. In his great Olivet Discourse, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." His parables speak about the nature of God's kingdom, what life is like in God's kingdom, how disciples live as citizens of that kingdom. This kingdom does not originate in this world, as Jesus said to Pilate, but it is thriving now in this world. It is the long-expected kingdom of God destined to eventually demolish all kingdoms of human origin. This is a very important point. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel that saves each and every one of us as we believe the heart of that message, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that Jesus took upon himself the punishment due to his people, and he rose from the dead that they might be justified, all their sins washed away, the penalty paid. Yes, it's the gospel that comes to each of us, and as we believe that, saves us. But it's also the gospel of the kingdom. It's good news about the rightful king and his rightful reign. This is why it was such good news to the Jews. The kingdom is finally here in its fullness. It's the fulfillment of the promise God had made so long ago to Abraham, that in him, in Abraham, in you, Abraham, God said, in you, all the nations of the world would be blessed. And it happened in God's perfect timing. We recently looked at Simeon, the aged man who came up in the temple and held the infant Christ in his arms. Unlike him, most Jews didn't recognize it. But this sudden appearance was right on time, according to the prophets. Daniel, for example, foretelling the exact time, centuries before it happened. The kingdom is here. Repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. And speaking of Christ's parables, one of his kingdom parables was that of the mustard seed. What did he say? That it starts as a small speck, a tiny, tiny seed. But eventually it becomes a tree with large branches. Jesus began with the 12, and within decades, that mustard seed was a thriving seedling, and in our day, a tree with branches all over the world. And so this good news, this gospel message, came not only to the Jews in fulfillment of promise. It was also the good news to the Gentile world. To them, it was the good news of an unforeseen hope, something that they had never known was going to happen, but what God had planned all along. The scripture underscores the hopelessness of all people in the world apart from Jesus Christ. Paul wrote these words to the Ephesians. At that time, speaking of the time before their conversion, at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So both Jew and Gentile, all mankind, have a common poverty. To the Romans, Paul wrote, what then are we, that is, the Gentiles, better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. And to the Galatians, the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But just as there is that common poverty of all mankind, Jew or Gentile, so God has provided a commonwealth for all. There are four American states that officially use the name Commonwealth. There will not be a quiz on which states they are, but all four are among the first 15 to join the Union. The idea of a commonwealth is the common welfare. In the civil context, in the context of those states, it referred to a government by the people and for the people. In our context, this commonwealth of God is for the Gentile world, from their perspective, suddenly and out of nowhere, from their perspective, there was this glorious hope. Deliverance from the futility of their worthless paganism and restoration to the true God from whom the nations had wandered so far. This is the good message. This is what Mark is burdened to preach about and write about. This is the divine message from heaven. He writes of the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. So the Gentiles are like the prodigal son who went away from his father's household and wasted his wealth in profligate living. The Jews, like the son who stayed with the father. This good news of the kingdom is for both of them. In conclusion, we want to affirm that everything else out there, so to speak, is bad news. This gospel, this good news from heaven, is unique. The king and kingdom who are the subject of this good news have no rivals. There is nothing else that saves. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And so just as we see Mark beginning with power, with describing the sudden appearance, as it were, of Jesus Christ coming in the power of the Spirit to preach the gospel, this mighty everlasting gospel, this trumpet, calls all to repent and believe, to bow before this king and come into his kingdom by repentance and faith. And if anyone does not do it now, in this ongoing day of that gospel, in this day of salvation, they will do it later. To the Son of Man, who is God the Eternal Son, all pagan idolaters will bow, casting their false gods to the winds. To the Son of David, who is the final conqueror, Mohammed and all those caught up in the darkness of his religion will bow. To Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Buddha, and all his followers will bow. To their incarnate creator, every confounded Darwinist will bow. To Christ, the wisdom of God, every other pompous, worldly, wise man, philosopher of this age will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To him who is the sole foundation and head of his church, everyone in the long line of popes will bow. To him whose name is the Word of God, every scripture-twisting heretic who ever arose throughout history will bow. To the teacher of the apostles, all latter-day cultists will bow, their damning falsehoods exposed. This is what this gospel is about. This is the truth of God from heaven. This is the trumpeting message from heaven. To him you will bow, and to him I will bow. On that great and dreadful day, when all this time of the proclamation of the gospel is said and done, at the feet of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, every human soul will bow, either with joy or in horrible terror, confessing that there is no other, confessing at last that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the good message from heaven. This is the way, the truth, and the life. As the Lord said, repent. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Let us pray. Father, may we cherish the gospel message as we go on in Mark's account of this eternal good news. May we learn to love it more. May we learn to understand it more. May our discipleship as members of the kingdom, Lord, may that grow and make us better able to share it with others. Father, give us a love for the gospel. Father, this is our only hope. This is the only hope for Jew, for Gentile, for anyone else. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, in whose name we pray. Amen.